All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Bob Gould.
Yes, and good day, good evening, good morning, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Bob Gould calling you from, talking to you live from WAAM, Wham! Talk Radio 1600 here in the Garden Spot of Michigan. And sitting across from me is Mr. Tom Wright, and we'll introduce him in just a moment. He's been on the program before, but he's going to be sitting in for my partner, who is on assignment outside the state. We'll get with him in just a minute. But this is Veterans Radio coming to you live. Boy, we got a lot of stuff to be talking about. You know, well, let's get. Is Dale on the line? Yeah, put him through.
Nope. Hey. Good afternoon, Robert.
Hey, oh, Robert, no. See, I never can get him for that, folks. Dale is Dale. There's no, you know,
right, there are no nicknames.
Yeah. Well, I got a nickname.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. You know, there was something I got to talk with you, Dale. Right now I'm going to make it very quick. You know, who we had last week, right? We had Rebecca Grant and
right.
And Kevin Hemel. Folks, catch this. I'm reading in the paper today that ISIS, you know who they are, the bad guys, right? They're selling oil. Yes, oil. They are selling oil. They've taken over the refineries. They are doing $3 million a day. They're selling oil on the black market. Who knew? We didn't even know that last. I would have loved to have asked Rebecca Grant, Dr. Grant, about that. They're selling oil, supporting their terrorism. Dale, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bob. Last night I was having a discussion with an Army Ranger, and we were talking about what they might be doing in the Mideast. And he thought that all of our attacks and everything should be done from aircraft carriers out in the Persian Gulf and in the Mediterranean and in the Black Sea. He says we shouldn't have any troops on the ground. We should just, you know, all whatever intelligence that the CIA or anybody else comes up with, they give us the mission, and we go in and take out whoever it is or whatever it is. And I thought, wow, what a simple solution. Well, I mean, it's not a solution, but what a simple way to actually take care of the problem over there. And I'm going to be talking with him later this evening, and I'll tell you, Bob, I got stories that are going to turn your hair white. Oh, yeah, it's already white.
No, it's not.
But it's, it, you know, it's disgusting when you think about that somebody's buying this oil. Who is?
Yes. And I dug a little further, and the one country, Pakistan, and they have the bomb.
They got a lot of bombs.
Well, they got the big bomb.
I know, but they also have a lot of little big bombs too.
And they're buying this oil. ISIS is selling it at half the price of what is the world market each day. Now, I know we're trying to stop this stuff, and you know we're so trapped, we can't destroy the refineries because they're in the countries that support us, but not the area where the refineries are.
Mm-hmm.
We're being checkmated. What do you think of that, Dale?
I didn't know this was going to be the topic today, but
well,
I
didn't either. But
what paper was that in, so that our listeners could, you know, go read the article online if they're not anywhere near where, you know, Ann Arbor?
That is the Detroit Free Press.
Okay.
And I think you can go to freep.com. But better, Google it. Google it. There are hundreds. I had no idea. And the more I was digging into this, the more I felt there's something seriously wrong here, and I'm not sure how we should go about correcting it. And right, if we just can't march into Pakistan and tell them that, hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. There's obviously, and I think that even certain factions in Syria are were also buying some of that oil.
Mm-hmm.
So. Wow, What a situation.
We get ourselves into these situations with no way out, and now we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this, and I think it's going to take a lot longer than people thought, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, too. What else do you... Oh, by the way, can I get a real quick message to Nina? Nina, give Jan Little a call. Okay, let's go. Yeah, let's go right to our second guest in just a second. Dale, you have any announcements coming up?
I do, actually. I got an email from John Kinzinger from the Vietnam Veterans of America in Ann Arbor, and
Chapter
they are 310? Having their Halloween party next week.
Oh!
But it's not the Halloween party there. It's going to be at the VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor. And so what they're looking for is the members of the VVA or anybody else that would like to participate to come down and meet in the lobby of the Ann Arbor VA at 5:30 p.m., preferably in costume. And what they do is they go room to room spreading some of the Halloween cheer from the patients and handing out whatever legal candy they can probably give out. And afterwards, they're going to be enjoying, it says, a burger and such at one of our favorite places, the Ypsilanti Sidetrack in Old Depot Town in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So next Saturday evening, if you're not too busy, you can get yourself up into a costume and go have a good time and, you know, boost the spirits of these men and women that are in the VA hospital in our local area.
Okay, so that's going to be 5:30 at the Ann Arbor VA, correct?
Correct. Meet in the lobby in the Ann Arbor VA on Fuller Road in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And as... Costumes?
Costumes are optional, but they would prefer that you're in a costume.
Oh, okay.
Some of us probably should be in a costume because otherwise our real faces will scare people.
That's true. All the wrinkles and such. Okay, what else you got?
I don't want to step on, I'm not sure what Dan wanted to talk about, but there were a couple of hiring events that are coming up that are really kind of cool.
Well, we're going to be talking with Jan Little about the one that's coming up over at, which one?
The one in Washington or the one
in Jack? Yeah, right, the Morris Lawrence building.
Okay, well, let's skip ahead then for a second, we can talk about that with her, but I've got another one here that's the Veterans Benefits Expo, which you were talking about a couple of weeks ago about the DD-214 and so forth. And so there's this big Veterans Benefit Expo at Jackson College on November 10th, which I believe is a Tuesday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is in Jackson, Michigan at Jackson Community College at the Potter Center on the second floor. And they are... It says veterans will be able to request and receive a copy of their DD-214 on site.
Oh, wait. Do that again. That,
all right.
Oh,
we'll
that's
do that.
So important, folks. So important.
Okay. So for all of you guys out there who have lost your DD-214 or can't put your hands on it, you will be able to request and receive a copy of their DD-214 on site. So evidently they're going to be hooked into the DOD, Department of Defense, or whoever holds on to our DD-214s, and you will be able to take one home with you. There is going to be a light lunch provided, and over 20 veteran service organizations are going to be there, including the VA Health Care, Mental Health, and the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And I am so amazed, Bob. I want to interject something. I'm down in Arkansas right now.
Razorback.
Oh, go ahead.
Razorback.
Yeah, and they four overtimes yesterday. They won the game. This place, I'm in Bentonville, home of Walmart, and this whole place is going crazy. They're still celebrating today.
Yes, but go ahead.
But there are so many great organizations out there across the country, and I got the opportunity to talk to a couple of people yesterday about some activities that they're doing down here, and we're going to talk more about these next week on Veterans Radio. But we want to thank all of those people out there that are supporting veterans from all of the different engagements and conflicts that we've been in. And we really appreciate what is going on today. These Iraq-Afghanistan veterans are so grateful that people are helping out, are willing to help out. And if they need some assistance, they know that there are people that have got their back. And I think that's so important because that's one of the things that veterans have a problem in transitioning is they don't know, you know, where to go. And so this is one of our missions, of course, is to provide the information of where they can go. And also that, you know, that we care about them and we want to talk to them. And so hooray to the rest of the country for what they're doing, too.
Tom Wright, who is a local activist, community activist. definitely a veteran supporter. He's working on a Fisher House. We'll get to that in just a minute. But, Tom, you have a comment.
Yes, I do. We are hoping that you all can attend the free event at Hill Auditorium.
And what day is that?
That is November 11th. Doors open at 6 p.m. We have a musical medley with the University of Michigan Marching Alumni Band. We have Concordia University, the Dick and Janes a cappella singers from University of Michigan. Steve Schramm from Michigan Radio is our MC. And on top of that, we have four veteran stories going from World War II to the Korean War, a POW, also a Army nurse. And in addition to that, Brendan Lejeune, who is from the he was a Marine in Fallujah, and he graduated from the University of Michigan and did war studies in London at King's College. Very wonderful group.
Now, who gets to go to this on November 11th?
Everybody gets
anybody.
To.
All right.
We want everybody to show up.
So pack up the babies and grab the old ladies and all the veterans and neighbors and get out there too. Where do they go?
Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor on the University of Michigan campus. Our battle cry is Phil Hill in honor of our veterans.
How can they get more information? Give us a phone number.
Actually, I can give you a great website
Give us a website.
It's www.vetsatthehill.org.
Give that again.
www.vetsatthehill.org.
And what time does that start?
It starts at 6 p.m. And if
you go
to the website, there is a place that you can sign up with a small donation. To go to the VIP event. We have lots of elective officials coming from all over the state. And in addition to that, we've been very honored that Bob Woodruff, our Michigan boy, has been helping us try to get a Fisher House to help our veterans in Michigan.
Okay, but you're going to tell us more of that later on in
Absolutely.
The program.
Absolutely.
So that's November the 11th, and then, Dale, you said we have a job fair on November 10th, right?
Right, a job fair on November 10th, and when you talk with Jan Little, you're going to be talking about an event coming up next week. So I am going to say adios, muchachos. And have a great program, and I look forward to talking to everybody next week. And thanks, Tom, for being on the program, and I can't wait to find out more information about the Fisher House and also the other projects that you're involved with.
Cool. Dale,
all right.
I'll see you when you get back.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Jan Little, who's going to be – and – oh.
Jill.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, this is Jill Ford, right? Oh, okay. All right, everybody's shaking their head. We'll be right back right after this very important message. We're back on Veterans Radio, and we do have somebody from the city of Detroit, Ms. Jill Ford, who is a special assistant to the mayor, Mayor Duggan. And, you know, folks, we like to tell you folks about this. All the good things that are going on here for veterans thing, but there's also things going on for our civilian population. Well, this particular, project, I guess you could call it that, is for the civilians as well as for the veterans. Detroit is coming back. It's already back, actually, and it's moving forward. And there's a lot of opportunity in Detroit. There's a lot of opportunity for business. There's a lot of opportunity for you to have your own place. Yes, how would you like to have your own storefront? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a bunch of hands being raised right now. That's right. They'd like to have their own storefront. And I'd like to welcome to Veterans Radio. She's going to tell us all about the Motor City match, Motor City match. Jill Ford, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm very honored and excited to be here.
Good. All right. Well, Motor City match, what does it do?
So the Motor City match is the city's quarterly competition for businesses and for property owners. We match the best properties throughout Detroit and the best entrepreneurs from around Detroit and the world. Every quarter, we put $500,000 into Detroit-based businesses.
What happens to that money?
That money is used to start and expand businesses in Detroit spaces.
So
every company that gets matched into a Detroit space with the Motor City Match Award gets up to $100,000 of matched funding for their company.
So this track, now we're talking about the business owner. This is for business owners looking for quality real estate opportunities. Is that correct?
Yes, it's for businesses that are looking to start or expand in Detroit and that are interested in some of the amazing real estate opportunities that we have in Detroit.
Well, I'm looking here, construction loans, support services. Tell us about some of those support services.
Absolutely. So one of the great things about the Motor City Match program is that it provides funding, but it also provides technical assistance. We want to make sure that businesses at all stages of development have the coaching and resources that they need to get to that next level. So for people who have an idea and haven't gotten to the point of writing a business plan yet, the Motor City Match can enable them to get help with writing that business plan. For people who have a business plan and have not yet identified the right space for them, the Motor City Match can help them to identify a space and find the right assistance for getting a lease in place for that space. For those people who have found the space but have not yet figured out how that space should be renovated to make it perfect for their business, the Motor City Match can provide technical assistance to find an architect who can help to write a renovation plan for that particular business to land in that space. And for those people who have the business plan, they have identified the space, they know the renovations that need to happen. Those people would be at a point where they could be ready for funding, and that's where the up to $100,000 of funding can support them getting into that space.
Wow, that's exciting stuff. So often when folks want to start a business, I don't know where I can set my business up, my house or what. Well, this will give you the opportunity to take a look at that. What's that website that they can get information on?
They can go to www.motorcitymatch.com.
And what do they expect when they do that?
When you go to the Motor City Match website, you'll get a significant amount of information about different ways that you can connect with the resources you need to start your business in Detroit.
Now, are there any deadlines for this?
It's a quarterly competition because we want to make sure that everyone knows that the opportunity is always available in Detroit to start or grow your business.
Man, this is so cool. This is MotorCityMatch.com, MotorCityMatch.com. I love this. Dream it, do it, Detroit. Make a match map. Tell us about that real quick. Match map.
Yes. So the match map shows the properties that we have already identified through the Motor City Match. The Motor City Match gets the best properties and the best entrepreneurs. And so as we find these properties, we want to make sure that everyone is aware of these properties in case even outside of the Motor City Match program, they're interested in potentially working with these landlords and getting into these spaces. We want to make sure that we have the opportunity to activate these spaces throughout Detroit, because once businesses get into these spaces, they will attract other businesses, which will attract additional foot traffic, and that helps to revitalize neighborhoods across Detroit.
Well, I think this, folks, those of you, even if you don't have a business and you're thinking about it, this is the first place to start, because you want to have the professionals to help you get it started. It's very, very, very costly, difficult to get through the first couple of years when you're your own business person, and to have professional help cuts down the chance and the opportunity to have things kind of go a little sour. So We've only got about what do we got? Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Jill, real quick, what would you like to – I'll tell you, Jill, speak for the mayor. What would the mayor of Detroit, Mayor Duggan, what would he like to say right now?
I'm sure that Mayor Duggan would be very encouraging, as he always is, of people who want to start and grow their businesses in Detroit. The Motor City Match is our competition that helps to match entrepreneurs to the perfect spaces for their businesses, provides grant-based funding, and provides technical assistance to ensure that you can start and expand your business in Detroit.
Wow, this is exciting. MotorCityMatch.com, MotorCityMatch.com. Jill, thank you very much for being a guest. You did excellent. Mm-hmm. I knew you would. Jill and I met back in July at a Detroit function, and I was so excited about this. Wow, I had to have her on. It's taken a while. In fact, you're calling us from vacation, right? North Carolina?
I'm back in Detroit already.
Oh, good. Well, welcome back to the Motor City. Too bad the Lions didn't do any better, but that's all right. We've got MotorCityMatch.com. Jill, will you come back and give us a progress report?
Absolutely. And definitely check out the website so you can see the first round of awardees that we've had to the Motor City Match. And be sure to come in for your submission to the competition. The applications will open up for the next quarter on December 1st, and they will be due back on January 1st. Every quarter, we start the competition, and the month before the start of the quarter, the applications are available.
I love it. Thank you, Jill. You have yourself a great evening.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Wow. Boy, was that exciting. Let's go to, do we have Jan Little? Yeah, let's go right directly to Jan Little. Jan, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Oh, love it. In fact, I've been looking at your flyer all day. I was looking at it so much, I left it on the kitchen table.
Oh, no. That's okay. You don't
all
need
day.
It. I
all
can tell
day.
You everything that's on it.
All day. I'm rearranging. Yes, this goes here. And then she's going to be second. And then, boom. And I left it on the kitchen table. Tell us about your event.
Well, Michigan Ability Partners is fortunate to be partnering with four other agencies to put on our first big hiring event for veterans. It's called Hire My Vet. It is going to be held at Washtenaw Community College in the Morris Lawrence Building on November 3rd. And we are excited to say that we have 22 confirmed employers, and these are companies that had said, I want to be part of this because I have a need to hire, and I want to hire a veteran. So what's different about this, they're not just out promoting who they are. As a company, they really have openings and are ready to go. So,
whoa. Well, let's get Jan Little back. And, Tom, what do you think about all that?
I think anything we can do to help our veterans get employment is much needed.
Well, you know, when we think about, are we working on getting Jan, right? We're working on getting her back, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We don't have her yet.
No, I know. You folks will be waving your hand. But, you know, when you hire a veteran, veterans show up. They don't take sick days. I mean, when you're in the Army, what are you going to, I'm going to have a sick day. I think I'll stay in the barracks. Yeah, right. Don't happen, folks. Don't happen. And veterans show up the sick days, and they take orders. They do their job. What more can – right. Oh, okay. We got Jan back. Jan Little, you're back on Veterans Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Bob. I'm back. I'm not exactly sure at what point I was cut off. But
no, you were talking about the Morris Lawrence Building and then
Okay. So I'm not sure if you heard that we have 22 confirmed employers.
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. We're hoping to have 200-plus job seekers, and that's where really this promotion and why we're so thankful for the opportunity to be on the radio with you is we want all of your listeners to know that this hiring event is for all veterans and their families. It's a free event.
Now, when you say "and their families," what do you mean by that? I mean the families can accompany
them,
right?
Spouses, children, any family member of the veteran is welcome to come to this event.
And well, kids are kind of hard to corral. What do you got for children?
Well, it's mainly focused on the vet and getting jobs. So I know that the planners have, I don't know if they have little daycare activities going on. I'm not sure. So I don't want to, maybe I'm giving them ideas right now. I'm not sure what they have planned for small children, but if there's adult children living in the home, they are welcome to, and they need jobs, they're welcome to attend as well.
Ooh, now that's an interesting, that's an interesting side. So they can also look, wow, what an exciting event. We're going to be taking our news and halfway through the program. Jan, don't go away, all right? We've got 30 seconds.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Jan Little talking about the Morris, that's November 3rd, right, Jan?
That's correct.
November 3rd, a little chin music there, Derek. You're listening to Veterans Radio right here on Talk Radio 1600. Don't go away. We'll be right back after the news and a very important message. Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio. Bob Gould right here with one of my esteemed colleagues, Tom Wright, is with me, and we're talking with Jan Little. Jan, would you call this a hiring fair?
This is a hiring event for veterans and their families.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's on November 3rd at the Morris Lawrence Building in Washtenaw Community College. At why don't you give us a, do you have an address there?
Sure. It's 4800 East Huron River Drive in Ann Arbor, 48105. And that's the Morris Lawrence Building. The event is running from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ooh, short. You got to get there early, folks. Don't
short.
Be late.
Yeah. We thought for our first event, we wanted to keep it relatively short. We really wanted it to be quality employers and focus on having the job seekers be able to go through and meet as many as possible. There is an employer panel that will be discussing their jobs and what they're looking for employees. That's from 9:15 to 10 a.m. prior to the hiring event. We had a prep day this past Thursday, and we had approximately 50 veterans come out and get their resumes updated. They practiced interviewing with local HR professionals. They had haircuts on site. They received bus tokens from the VA to be able to get to these different events that are going on around town. So Dress for Success was there, and they are helping veterans with appropriate attire for interviewing. So we feel really good about this. We're excited for the veterans that they have this opportunity, and everything's lining up in place for them.
Should they come? Is there some kind of dress code? Should they come ready to interview with a suit, sport coat? What's your suggestion?
Yes, they should come ready to interview. And, you know, there's a variety of employers really covering all kind of industries. So, you know, the employers include McKinley Inc., the VA Hospital, FedEx, Verizon Wireless, the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office. So I would recommend that all veterans come with, at minimum, a dress shirt and dress pants. If they have a suit, I think that's nice. You know, it's not necessary, but it is, it's a nice option if you have it. The main thing is get there and you know, be there and be ready to talk to employers about why they should hire you.
Right. Okay. Now, they weren't at the event that you had last week, so they didn't do all the pre-work. They show up, but they do have a tie or a shirt and whatever, all the good stuff. But they don't have a resume because they weren't there last week. They weren't able to get. Do you have something for those that are in that situation?
Well, I know there are going to be a lot of staff from both my agency as well as the VA who will be available for support to help the veterans do a mini prep and get, you know, so that kind of calms some of those fears. It's difficult to go in, especially if you haven't, you know, worked for a while or gone on an interview for a while. So there will be support staff there from, you know, our agency, from the VA, the Rotary, just to help guide people, direct them, and give them some pointers.
Good. It sounds great. That's going to be November 3rd, 10 o'clock, at the Morris Lawrence Building at Washtenaw Community College. One more time, give out that website.
So the website, it's actually hiremyvet.wordpress.com. That is the website for Hire My Vet.
Now, when you say my, it's M-I, correct?
It's, yes. Hire, what? M-I as in Michigan, vet, V-E-T, .wordpress.com. And people can also walk in that day, or they can call to register to get more information as well. I can give you the number for that. It's 248-733-3791.
248-733-3791. 3791. Y'all get that? Right. You always should have a pencil, pen, crayon, whatever, whenever you're listening to Veterans Radio, because there's so much stuff that we give out over here. Jan, want to thank you very much. Next week, I think Dale's going to have you on again one more time just before the event. So I want to thank you very much for working with veterans. Thank you for which one of my projects, which is finding jobs for the veterans, and not some, I shouldn't say finding, but to bring veterans and employers together. That's even better than finding jobs. I mean, there's jobs everywhere, but being able to bring employers and veterans together and to get that atmosphere to where it's going to work out for everybody. What a great opportunity. Jan, thank you very much. Dale will be back next week, and so he will talk with you. Will you be here?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Whew. Tom, wow, Hire the Vet.
Yes, in fact, the Ann Arbor Rotary Club is participating in that program.
I know.
And I am now a member. I was so excited when they came to the rescue of our veterans for the Veterans Project for the Fisher House. I joined because it's all about getting things done.
Wow. Wow, you can't say more for the Rotary people than that. Derek, we're going to take our third break right about now. Then we're going to come back with Veterans Leadership Program of Western Pennsylvania, Director Michael Aaron Glass. I can't wait to talk about. Oh, I got a lot to talk about. They're going to talk about homelessness and doing all this great stuff for veterans. We'll be right back right after this very important message. We're back on. We got to take care of that one band member. You know, it keeps getting that. But we're back here on Veterans Radio, right here on Talk 1600. Wham! Talk 1600. I got something to say, folks. And I don't think I've told probably not more than a half a dozen people. So here it is. And I was homeless. Yep. Gosh, how many years ago? About 26, 27 years. I was homeless. And I know what it feels like. And it wasn't because I was lazy or what, it just a number of circumstances. And that's why my next guest, and I was so encouraged to get this stay and to get this gentleman on the program. He's the executive director of the Veterans Leadership Program, and what caught my attention is that they had an article in the Free Press again about homelessness and women homelessness. Well, women make up about 11% of our military population. That's a lot. And I think to target that is something that's been overlooked. I know myself, and going through it, it's very close to my heart. Very, very, very close to my heart. So I want to give a big, huge welcome to folks that work for the homeless on the veteran side and that are making a difference. And that's Michael Aaron Glass, Executive Director of Veterans Leadership Program, Western Pennsylvania. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
After that long introduction, tell us, and wow, that was a very, Mike, that was a very, very, very quick. Tell us a little bit about your military career.
A long story, really short. I'm a Marine Corps veteran, was an NCO, transferred overseas, got a combat promotion to second lieutenant, came back to the United States. And, of course, at that time, after the Vietnam War, the services were downsizing the large number of officers. And I had my choice of becoming a warrant officer, going to school, going back down to my NCO grade. Actually, I kept my second lieutenant for a short while, and then I went back down to staff sergeant. I did 6 years active duty, including one tour with the President of the United States, and was discharged in Charleston, South Carolina. Long story, really short.
And that brings us to today. And you are, again, the Executive Director of the Veterans Leadership Program of Western Pennsylvania. Homelessness, the services that we'll call you now VLP, that provide for homeless veterans, especially females. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. VLP, Veterans Leadership Program of West Pennsylvania, our mission, of course, is simply to provide essential housing and employment, as well as other vital support services to veterans and their families. Our vision is simply to improve the self-sufficiency, the sustainability, and the quality of life for all veterans. We were founded in 1982 by some local Vietnam veterans. And, of course, post 9/11, it became clear that we had other issues that our returning veterans were involved in. And so our name was changed from Vietnam Veterans Program to Veterans Leadership Program of Western Pennsylvania. And so today we offer housing assistance, employment services, of course, and other supportive services to all veterans with the goal, again, of their self-sufficiency. And it's not just helping find employment and housing, but really to help them reintegrate back into civilian society. The military environment is dramatically different from what happens in civilian society, and a lot of us coming back just have trouble making that connection, that transition. So we help veterans do that.
Now, the project that you have ongoing now for homeless women veterans is called Project Journey. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, how many homeless, do you have a figure? Homeless women veterans, there we go, homeless women veterans are in the country today. Your estimate.
Well, as you know, HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, does two what they call point-in-time surveys every year with the idea, of course, of addressing the issues of homelessness in the entire population. And so they want to know how many people are homeless on the street on any given night of a year. And so we know that because of that survey last year that there are about 50,000 veterans homeless on any given night, or that were homeless on any given night in 2014. And female homeless veterans account for about 10% of the number, nearly 5,000 women homeless on the streets in the United States at any given time last year.
That's a shame, folks. You hear that? 5,000.
It's terrible.
Veterans, women.
Yeah. We're talking about, in my humble opinion, the nation's finest citizens, people who most of us at this point are, you know, we're talking about veterans who left high school, did not really spend a lot of time in the civilian workforce, you know, left high school, went straight to the military, got, you know, 3 or 4 months worth of training, and then was put in the theater in Iraq or Afghanistan or someplace. And they come back home and they don't get, and very often they don't get the treatment, the respect, nor the services they both need and deserve. And so VLP is here to help correct that.
Now, you do, what was this word here? Lord. Oh, the Veterans, Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, HVRP. It's a federal program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, HVRP, Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, is just one of the programs that we operate. We have the good fortune of being able to partner with the Department of Labor and they are a huge funder of our programs. And, of course, what they want to do is help get people off the street as well. And so the HVRP is the only federal program that provides funds for homeless veterans with employment and training assistance. And so through that program, we're able to offer three different kinds of housing programs, a rapid rehousing, a transitional housing, and permanent housing. And, of course, they are – I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, they are exactly what they sound like. Rapid rehousing, of course, is designed to get those people who are at high risk of danger or other issues and get them off the street right away. We get them off the street and into a housing situation. The transitional housing helps us to for those people, especially those women, who are in uncomfortable situations. They're in at-risk situations. They may be sleeping on the couch of a family or a friend. They may be at an overcrowded shelter somewhere, but typically in overcrowded or unsustainable situations. And we get them off the street into housing and help them with case management to help them get their lives back together. And the third program, of course, is permanent housing. We're able to provide apartments and houses for women and their children. So we get them off the street, get them into a safe and comfortable environment, and help them with their families.
Absolutely, because they did their turn and served our country. But one of the questions I had when we talked on the phone a couple days ago, now I know there are certain situations that you can see somebody and they're headed to be homeless, but are there other, like, characteristics, signs that a family can look for in a relative or neighbor in a homeless female? Because I know it's different, and there is the obvious, right. But beyond that, is there little things that preclude someone who just may wind up being homeless? Michael, tell us about that.
There really are a number of things. As you know, every case is different, every situation is different, every human being is different. But Syracuse University has a program, actually a program called the Institute for Veterans and Military Families, IMVF. And they've done some amazing work around identifying at-risk factors and high-risk factors and to help us help all programs across the country who are working with veterans, especially women veterans who are homeless. And so we know that there are essentially five factors that help us identify those women, especially who are at risk of being homeless after their military experience. And the first one, of course, is one we all know about, which is childhood adversity. If women come from homes that are unstable, they're going to tend toward that. It is a huge factor people don't think about, but it is an absolutely an identifying factor about homelessness. The second one is the trauma or any abuse they may have had in the military service. The sad fact is that nearly 80% of female veterans have been exposed to some type of trauma, whether it be sexual trauma or whether it be trauma in the combat arena. But 80 to 90% of female veterans have been exposed to some type of trauma. And 20% of female veterans report experiencing military sexual trauma. And of course, you know, and when they get out, very often there's post-military abuse, either spousal or partner abuse. And all those things lead to, of course, some mental instability and can cause women to not know where to turn. The fourth factor, I don't know if I said it, the third factor is the post-military abuse. The fourth factor is just the termination of a relationship. Again, if you have an unstable family relationship, that can lead to homelessness. And finally is the post-military mental health, which includes substance abuse or medical problems and all the things that can happen, especially in a combat theater. So if we're able to know that women are going through or have gone through those kinds of situations, we know that their gateway to homelessness is a high factor.
Okay. If you are not in Western Pennsylvania, you're in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, how can somebody out there who wants to find out more information, where can they go to get more information on the homeless situation for females?
Well, certainly, I guess the two main sources are, number one, the Department of Veterans Affairs. The VA has a page on their website that's dedicated to women veterans, and that page lists different housing programs and other supportive services that are available, including the one we just talked about, the SSVF, the Supportive Services for Veteran Families. And a second great source is the NCHV, the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. another great resource that on their website lists organizations and agencies with programs that will help women veterans.
Okay, I'm going to give, well, why don't you give the those that want more information. And is that going to be the neverforgetvets.org? Is that the website?
That's our website, neverforgetvets.org. You can also check out our social media pages. We have on Facebook and LinkedIn, you'll find us at Veterans Leadership Program of Western Pennsylvania. Our Twitter account is at VLPWPA. So, yeah, we'd be happy if anybody wants more information. Our website, again, is neverforgetvets.org. Our phone number in the office is 412-481-8200.
Okay, folks, if you have any questions, you're going to want to go to the website, right? Right.
There you go.
Michael,
Never Forget Vets.
You have about, a good minute. Why don't you tell us the final statement coming from you to all our listeners and the veterans out there?
I guess the big thing for me, as I said before, is that veterans are our finest citizens. These are people who and mostly young people. We send kids. We send young people these combat theaters. We don't send old people. We send people in the prime of their lives. And they serve between the ages of 18 and 25 years old. And that means they're giving the absolute best part of their lives in service to this country. When they return, they should be due a certain amount of respect. They should have their doors to be open for them to help them find employment and services. Fortunately for us in Western Pennsylvania, we have great partners. I don't know if you know this or not, but Forbes magazine cited Pittsburgh as being the most veteran-friendly city in the United States last year. And it's because of programs like ours at VLP, but also because of our partnership with United Way of Western Pennsylvania. We have great funding from Newman's Own Foundation, and we have great corporate partners like PNC Bank, and I shouldn't name them because I'll leave a bunch of them out, but PNC Bank, Duquesne Light, and just a host of other corporate partners have been absolutely integral to our success.
Folks, that's neverforgetvets.org, neverforgetvets.org, or project-journey.org, project-journey.org. Michael, would you come back on the program and give us an update in the future?
I'd love to.
Thank you very much for all that you have done, Mr. Glass, everything that your staff, all the work that you've done, all the corporations that are supporting you from all of us here at Veterans Radio. Boy, we give you a big salute, and especially from me because it comes from my heart. Take care. Have a great evening.
Thank you, sir. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Wow. Tom, what do you think about that?
I think it's absolutely incredible.
That this groundswell, well, it has to do with your project, which is, it's got a Fisher House for the state of Michigan. A Fisher House. Well, what is a Fisher House?
A Fisher House is similar to a Ronald McDonald House. It is for veterans.
It's got hamburgers?
No, but it has veterans, their families, and caregivers staying in a common location. And we have one of the highest populations of veterans in the United States here in Michigan, and we have no such facility. Florida has 6, California has 7. And
they have these houses where the families, when they can be with the vet while they're getting treatment. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
But what about hotels, motels? What about that?
Well, as you stay in many of our fine cities here in Michigan, when there are varied events throughout the state, those hotels are filled. The cost of those hotels are raised when there's major events going on. You have University of Michigan football, the Detroit Auto Show, all kinds of events that go on throughout the state. What are our veterans' families going to do during those times? Also,
sleep in the car.
Also, many of our veterans' families come from some of the lowest income communities in the state. They can't afford it.
They can't afford it. And a Fisher House is something that you started, you've been on the program, and you started this, what, 3 months ago?
We started working with the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System a year ago.
Oh, a year. Okay.
And we have been working with our Congress people, our state people. We have been working with the Ann Arbor Rotary Club, which has worked tirelessly to help get us funding to put on a program to raise awareness at Hill Auditorium.
And when's that going to be?
That is going to be November 11th at 6 p.m. The doors will open. It's absolutely free. It's a musical extravaganza which includes the stories of veterans from a number of different conflicts.
Who can come?
Everybody can come. In fact, our motto is...
Even Derek?
Absolutely. Phil Hill Auditorium in honor of our veterans.
And Nina can go too. And
we want everybody there.
And Dale?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes. Please come.
Okay. Now, I know you're doing a little more fundraising. Why don't we've got about 2 minutes, Nina? 2 minutes. So give us a little chin stuff on the fundraiser.
The fundraiser, the best place to find out about that is www.vetsatthehill.org.
Vetsatthehill.org.
That is correct. And on that site, they'll see how they can donate, what they can do, more information on the performance itself. Everything they need to know is there.
And... Well, after this, do you have anything else planned after the event?
We're going to continue to work to raise money. Part of the Ann Arbor Rotary Club's work to help veterans is to raise the $8 million needed to do this.
Well, I can't think of anything other than just what is so important is that the veterans, when they come here for care, and they come from out of state, or out state, there we go, I'm going to say
and
that.
Out of state, too.
And out of state, that they bring their families with them.
And can I tell you why I think this is so important? My uncle was killed in service. As a result of him being killed in service, our family rallied around him. Without that family support, they would have been lost.
Tom Wright, thank you very much for being with me. And Derek, I want to thank you for running aboard. Nina, thank you for being our AD. This is Bob Gould saying for Dale Throneberry and myself, till next week, you're dismissed.